Good morning. My name is Brian English, and I'm super happy to be here. I know I say that every time I get up here, but I'm serious. It doesn't really sound like you guys are very happy to be here, though. Are you guys happy to be here? Yeah. It's a Super Bowl Sunday. You ain't got to save all your excitement for the Chiefs game, right? We can have some right here. So, I do say every time I get up here that I'm super happy and I'm very excited, and this is an honor and a privilege for me to be allowed to come up here and speak to you guys, because Maywood's all about finding spiritual gifts, and I believe one of my gifts that God did, not me, this is all Jesus, was allow me to get in situations like this and hopefully be his mouthpiece, because that's what I pray for, and that's an honor and a privilege, but there's more to it. There's more reasons I'm so excited about being here, and one of those reasons... Can we get the slides? Boom. Good morning. Let me get the next one. One of those reasons I'm so excited to be here is I'm a Maywood miracle. What does that mean? Is that just me talking like some nice church words? No. It means that when I came to Maywood, and trust and believe, I was drugged to Maywood kicking and screaming. I didn't want to come here. I had a million reasons why I didn't want to be here. But God forced my hand. He made it very clear. And I'm a little hard-headed when it comes to Jesus telling me to do stuff. I often don't listen the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. But yet, when he really wants me to do something, he just makes it obvious and makes it clear. And I was brought here. I was brought to this place. And I came downstairs to the fellowship hall. And there was a man down there teaching named Josh Monk. And I'll tell you what, I didn't like Josh Monk then at all. We had some history, and it wasn't good history. You know, and that's one of the reasons I was so hesitant to come here. But I kept hearing things about him. I kept hearing how his life had been transformed. And then combine that with God continuing to tell me over and over through different individuals that I had to come here. Finally, I was like, okay, I'm going to come. And I went down there, and I sat down, and I heard Josh begin to teach. And it was more like preach. And he talked about cooking meth, murder, and Jesus all in the same sentence. And it made sense, right? I was like, I understand this, right? Because I didn't get saved at Maywood, and I didn't get sober at Maywood. I got saved and sober in prison. You know, and then I got out of prison, and I went to some churches. And these were good churches, powerful churches, but they weren't churches for someone like me, right? And it wasn't about them, it was more about me, because I may have looked one way on the outside, but on the inside, I was a ex-junkie, meth-dealing criminal. That's what I was. And so it was hard for me to relate to people. But when I went downstairs and I heard them, I was like, this is something I can get down with. This is somewhere that I can understand. This is somewhere I can be, and people know what I've been through. And did that transformation and miracle happen then? No. But what that was enough to get the hook in. That got the hook in me. And then throughout the years since, and I don't know how many years, it's probably been a decade or more that I've been here, but throughout the years since, a group of God-fearing men and women have poured their life into me. They've discipled me. They've refined me. And in that time, my life has been transformed. Now, am I the best Christian I could be? Absolutely not. Am I the best father I could be? Not even close. Best husband? My wife's not here. But the answer is no. No. No, it's not. But all of that aside, I am a walking, talking, living, breathing miracle. Period. My life has been transformed. Before I got saved in prison, I could not get off meth. Not that I couldn't get off it, I didn't want to. That's what I did. It's who I was. It was everything I was about. And ever since that day, I've been sober, right? And that was just the beginning of the miracles. Jesus continued to do miracle after miracle in my life. And I'm going to tell you what, guys. I'm not the only one. I don't care if you're sitting down in the fellowship hall or if you're in the youth chapel or you're in the sanctuary or you're home on Facebook. The odds are, if you look to your left or you look to your right, you probably see a Maywood miracle next to you, because there's a whole bunch of us, right? So where I'm going with this is this. There's been, ever since this pandemic started, church has been a lot different, right? And there's been a lot of people that's been transitioning in and transitioning out of Maywood, right? And I'm not here to say that Maywood, I am a little bit, but I'm not here to say that Maywood's is a better church than every other church. I'm here to say that Maywood is a better church for me than every other church, because we are a body and God is effective everywhere, right? But for me, this is the spot. And I just feel led to talk about that. For me, this place is very special. It's a part of my life. It's a part of my family. And yes, church isn't about the building. It's about the people. And yes, it's not the people who are doing the work, really. It's the Spirit. In essence, it's Jesus. But Jesus did those miracles for me right here. He didn't do them over there. He didn't do them over there. He did them right here. And so I have to remember that. And that's why this place is so important to me. And that's why it would take something like this. Next slide, please. Anticipation. Boom. It would take a burning bush. It would take a road to Damascus experience for me to go somewhere else. Why? Well, I told you earlier, I'm hard-headed. So it would take something extreme. And I'm pretty resigned to the fact that this is where I'm supposed to be. This is where God wants me. So it would have to be a powerful message. Now, I'm not saying that's never going to happen, because it could. It could happen today on the way home from church. It could happen right. It could happen anytime. You know, God could be like, Brian, your time at Maywood is over. Okay, yes, Lord. And I'd probably listen to that because it was pretty direct, right? But it would take something extreme. And that's just me, because I know right now I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm home. This is my spot, right? And so I mentioned earlier that I didn't get saved here, and I didn't get sober here, and I was drug kicking and screaming. But in a sense, when I got out of prison, I was sober. I was reading my Bible. I was walking with Jesus the best that I could, which wasn't that good looking back. But I was sober, and I was doing what I knew how to do. And it was almost like I was a baby Christian, because that's what I was. It's almost like I was a baby sapling, like a little plant. And when Jesus brought me here, he put me in some very fertile soil. Can I get the next slide, please? Some soil like this. This is a garden that got started behind the church. Eric Gossie, wherever you're at, he was gracious enough to allow us to use some of his property to build this garden. You know, and it's called the good soil. And to me, that's what I see Maywood as. It's some good soil, right? It's very fertile. Jesus was able to transplant this little baby kicking and screaming Christian into the soil here, and I began to grow, and it was deep soil. And I was able to put roots down, and those roots hold me in place, right? And then he put some other plants in a box with me, some strong fruit-bearing plants to guide me and direct me, right? And I think this analogy of soil and agriculture in general, it's such an apt description of Christianity. One reason I think that is because Jesus continues to use it over and over again, and it's used throughout the whole Word of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Mark 4, next slide please, 14 through 20. And what this is the parable of the sower, right? And I'm sure most of us have heard this parable one way or the other, but we're going to go into it a little different angle today. But before I get into that, and before I forget, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, just thank you, thank you, thank you for today. And just thank you for this opportunity to be where you want me to be. And Lord, I don't think I'm the only one who's where you want him to be. I believe everyone in this building is here today because this is where you want them. I don't believe it's an accident, and I believe you got a purpose for each and every one of our lives. And Lord, I'd ask whatever part of this message is for them or is for me, that you give us eyes, you give us ears, and you give us hearts that can hear and see him. In Jesus' name pray, amen. So the parable of the sower. Let me give you a little context. Right earlier in the chapter, right before this, Jesus is talking to the multitude and the disciples. You know, and prophetically it says that he'll speak to them in parables. And so, you know, the disciples were there, and these are people who have spent a lot of time with Jesus, right? And they're with him, and they're hearing this parable, and they don't get it. They're like, what are you talking about, right? And I can't tell you the amount of times that I've been reading the Bible, especially in the beginning, and I was like, what are you talking about? That don't even make sense. But the disciples right here, they did the right thing. They went to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, make this make sense to us, because it don't, right? And that's a lesson in and of itself, because that's what we need to do. We need to go to the source and ask him, like, Lord, I don't get this. It don't make sense. I know there's power here, but please make it make sense. You know, and then we need to have the humbleness when he sends someone to listen to whoever he sends to explain it to us. Or we need to seek out someone who has the words, but not just the words. They have the life and the walk to back up those words, right? And we need to listen. And in a sense, that's what the disciples are doing here. So he breaks down the parable. But right here, he's getting ready to go into what it really means. So let's kick this off real quick. So Mark 4, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. Where they hear? When they hear, Satan comes in immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. I apologize for this. Real quick, can I get the garden up there? Can you go back? Keep this in your head. This vision, this is going to help. This little picture right here. Go back to the words, please. So the wayside, basically, is you see the boxes. Now, I don't want to spend a bunch of time going to ancient Israel agriculture because we don't need to. That box, that garden is a good enough analogy for us to understand what's going on. And the wayside is those places in between. Basically, it's unprepared soil, right? It's hard. It's unyielding. It's not ready to be sown. When seed goes there, it may sprout a little bit, if it even does that, but it's not going to do any more. Because it's basically like throwing it on rock or on concrete. It's just unprepared soil, right? And so, just to make this clear, what is this word? What are these seeds that we're talking about? The word is basically the hope that we all have. It's the gospel. It's the fact that God himself came down as a man and lived a sinless life among us, right? And then he let his own creation batter him, bruise him, and murder him on a cross, not for what he did, but for what they did. And then he bore the sins of the world, and he gave us that gift so that when God the Father, who is holy and just and true and can not stand sin, so when he looks at us, he doesn't see the dirty, sinful creations that we are. He sees clean, holy, beautiful sons and daughters. Not because of what we did, because of what Jesus did on that cross. And that's the word. And that's the hope that we have. And that, my friends, is what this thing's all about. But yet the unprepared soil, the soil on the wayside, that's hard hearts. That's hearts that are unprepared, right? And us as Christians, we are not responsible for other soil, right? That's not something we can do. We can't till the soil. I can't run up on someone and get their heart ready. Only Jesus can do that. But what we're responsible for is sowing, right? But he says right here, if the heart is hard, the word ain't going anywhere. Immediately, Satan's got so much control that he takes it away. Let's move on to some other soil. Next slide. 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. Who? When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. I'm going to spend a little time here. This is something that, this is some soil I've seen a lot around here, and I've experienced a little bit about myself. So the thing about rocks is that rocks are often underneath. You can't see them. So on top, it may look like some good, fertile soil. But underneath, there's these boulders, these rocks. And what these rocks do, they prevent that seed from taking root. Now, seeds, they sprout up, and it looks great. And they're like, Jesus, you know? And everything's wonderful, you know? But there's no root there. And what does it say? It says when persecution comes, immediately, they stumble. So the thing about rocks is they take a little bit of work. You got to dig down, right? You got to open yourself up. You got to humble yourself to know that everything on the inside ain't how it should be. And you need the gardener, the real gardener. You need Jesus to come help you get some of those rocks out, to break them up. And this stuff ain't fun, ladies and gentlemen. It's rough. I'll tell you what's much easier. What's much easier is to just brush a little topsoil over it and act like everything's okay and have your little plants looking good. I'm going to tell you what I call this. I call this the flame out. And the reason this is so near and dear to me is because I've had many people have came to this church and flamed out. A lot of them have been really good friends of mine, really good friends. And they show up and they hear that word and it's all about Jesus. And they are the prophetic charismatic gift to Maywood Baptist Church, and they got it all figured out, and they may not say those words, but that's just their attitude. And I don't know if they really think that, but that just seems how it seems to me, right? And you try to give them direction, and no, they're special, and a word that doesn't apply to them, and yet they got it all figured out, and they're like this big ball of Jesus fire. And then 2 months later, they're gone. They're in the crack house. They're on meth again. Or in my case, with several of my friends, they're dead. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God is the God of many chances. But those chances run out. I live my life like I'm on the last chance because I am. And I don't know what chance you guys are on, but I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to hurt you to live it like it's your last one. There's no reason not to, because we don't know, right? And for several people that I know, it was their last chance. They're never going to have another chance again. And that sounds bleak, and that sounds scary, and it is. But there's a couple profound differences between us and God's garden and those plants in a real garden. See, those plants in a real garden, when they get a little root rot, or they start to get some leaves falling off, or they get a little dry, right? They can't do nothing about it. But we can, right? Because we have that hope. And that hope is in Jesus. We can ask the gardener. We can ask the gardener to come in. And he is faithful, and he will honor that, and he will come, and he'll get us back right, right? And if we will humble ourselves and ask God to come in and remove those rocks, he will. He will come in, and he'll do more. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is a little bit of a different kind of soil. Past the rocks, we're going to talk about the weeds. So now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So I just mentioned that one of the profound differences between us and the real plants, I mean, there's many differences, but one of the more profound in our situation is, yes, we have the ability to ask the gardener. Plants don't. They need it. The gardener has to have an attentive eye or they're going to die. Our gardener always is watching us and always has an attentive eye. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for us to ask. But see, the flip side is true as well. Not only can we ask the gardener to come, but unlike those plants, what those plants never do is they never scheme, they never manipulate, they never connive ways to bring things into their soil, right? And that's what these weeds are, these deceitfulness, these fears. These are things that we allow to come in because God gave us this fertile soil, right? God didn't give us some soil all messed up, but fertile soil grows seeds. But you know what else fertile soil can grow? Weeds and other kinds of plants. And what do these weeds and seeds and other kinds of plants do? They grow amongst the plants we're trying to do, and they start to take the nutrients out of the soil, and they start to put a little cage around you, and they start to block the sun's light from you. And it talks about thorns. And that's the thing about thorns. If you got a bunch of thorns around you, they don't poke you if you stay where you're at. They only poke you when you move. So it gets real comfortable to stay stationary, right? And before you know it, you're in the shade. You ain't getting no water. You ain't got any nutrients. You're getting dry, and stuff's starting to fall off, right? And we got to be careful. Because you can be a strong plant and you can have some fruit, but if you start letting these things come in your soil, right, it can be all bad. But once again, we got a gardener who cares, who will, if we ask, if we just ask, and we don't even have to, we just ask, if you just see God just a little bit, he's coming at you full force. He's coming in with the Roundup. He's coming in with that pickaxe. He's coming to get all that stuff out of your soil. That's what he wants to do. That's what he's waiting to do. That's what he designed you to do, is to ask him, right? And so we have that hope. And God puts us in that soil with a hedge of protection. But ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop. I'm stopping. I have to stop coming up with ways to get pollution in my soil. Literally, I spend good money coming up with ways to pollute myself. And it just doesn't make any sense. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But for me, you know, I look at it, it's just totally illogical, and it doesn't make any sense. And it's so easy. And in the Bible, gardens grow in seasons, right? And this ain't a one harvest kind of deal. The Bible talks about there's a different time, there's different seasons. We go through life, there's many seasons, right? And some of those will be very bountiful, but some of them may not be. And Christianity is not all sunshine and rainbows. It's like this, and it's like this. It's like this. We're not required to always feel happy. We're required to be obedient to what God told us, right? Happiness is an emotion. Obedience is an action. And we're supposed to be obedient. And part of that obedience is being responsible for the soil that we have. Now, if you think back to those boxes were not individual boxes. They had many plants in it. What does that mean? That means we're not in this by ourselves. We are in this together. I see a bunch of plants right now, right? We should all be producing fruit. Many of us are, right? And that's where we need to be. But part of the reason we're in this together is so we can look to our right, we can look to our left, and they can look at us and we can help each other. Because I'm going to tell you something about weeds and other plants that can grow up in your garden. Weeds grow fast, yes, but it's all about perspective. When you're living life and you got a weed right here and it's growing up with you, you become accustomed to it, right? You don't notice it. We could have weeds growing all over us and the sun's light could be blocked from us and we got those thorns and we become complacent. We don't move and we just stand still and we don't know what's going on. So sometimes we got to humble ourselves and we got to ask, God, what is the situation of my soil? Where am I really at? Because it's real easy to block off what's going on, right? So we need to ask, Lord, where am I really at? What's my situation? And when we ask that question, sometimes he'll send others, right? Others that are in the same garden as we are to say something, you know? And we have to be able to take direction. Sometimes that's hard. But if you see another plant and he's standing strong and he's got some fruit and he's like, look, I don't really know how this all happened to me, but I do know that I used to be going through what you're going through and I did these things and my life is different, right? Maybe we need to humble ourselves and listen to that direction. But if you see another plant in a box and he's all, you know, wilted and dry and got freaking rotten fruit all over him and he's like, well, dude, this is what I did. Don't do what he did, right? That's probably not going to work out. You're probably going to end up with a bunch of rotten fruit all around you. I'm just saying, you know? So look, what does the Bible say? You know them by their fruit, right? But if they got some fruit, if you know them by their fruit and you want some fruit like they got, maybe we need to listen to what they have to say. You know, and that can be difficult. Look, I have a gift. One of my gifts is I have the ability to take good things from God and tell people and make them sound bad, right? It's unfortunate. I can take a good message and I can say it in a way where it totally loses its effect because it came off the wrong way. You know, and I'm not the only one that with that gift. I'm sure many of you can affirm that there's several of us around here that have that gift, unfortunately. But that's on me. But that doesn't mean if you're praying and you're asking for direction and direction comes and maybe it doesn't come how you think it should come, or maybe you don't like the sound of how it came, ignore the messenger. Ignore the delivery. Take what's for you and move on. How they delivered the message doesn't have nothing to do with you. That's between them and Jesus. What you need to do is take that fertilizer, take that direction, take that and put it right here and move on, right? And let those of us with this unfortunate gift try to do better, you know, because we actively are. So I keep talking about fruit. What's the point of fruit? What is fruit for? What comes from fruit? What else comes from fruit? What'd you say? What else? Seeds. That is the purpose of fruit. Now, we're not going to go into the dirty details of how seeds get spread from fruit, but basically, when fruit gets ate, seeds get deposited, right? And that's what this is all about, is the seeds. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what we're attempting to make Maywood all about. Discipleship. Renewal. Spreading the word. Next slide, please. And this fruit, when it's grown in fertile soil and is allowed to blossom and be bountiful, these things happen. It says, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what we're looking for. That's not what we're looking for. That's what he's looking for. Like, he didn't bring Brian English to Maywood and do miracles in his life just for me. He did it so he could glorify himself. Then he also did it because he knew when he picked me and many others that are here that he was really scraping the bottom of the bucket, right? And he knew that if he would change my life and many others' lives, that people would know, like, something happened to that guy, right? There's some fruit in that. That allows me to speak to some people that others can't. That allows people to have some hope. They're like, if that dude can get freaking sober, I know I can. If Jesus can help that mess of a guy, I know he can help someone like me, right? And that's what it's all about. And we don't know how bountiful we're going to be. And sometimes it's not about words. Sometimes we just need to be that plant in the garden. We just need to be that plant in the garden growing strong and producing. And that way, when the little sapling's next to you and they're struggling, you can look down and be like, hey, little sapling, I used to be where you're at. And look, man, this is what I did. And I'm not saying I got it figured out. And this is what Jesus told me to do. It ain't me, but I did this and this thing helped. And then maybe on the other side, there's a plant that's all wilted. He's got a bunch of weeds and stuff growing. And you can be like, hey, this I used to go through that. This is what I did, and it helped. But when we say that, we got to keep in mind that hopefully someday that plant that's wilted will be strong and full of fruit. And then the reverse could be true, and they could be talking to us, you know, not as an underling, but as an equal, because then now they have some experience to share with us. And that's what it's all about. It's not about being the tall plant. It's about us all being bountiful and being fruitful together. Because we're in this garden together. I know today's Super Bowl Sunday. And I also know that when that football game starts, none of you are probably going to remember anything I had to say. And I'm not judging you. I'm the exact same way, right? And so if we can take nothing else from today, there's two things. One I said earlier, and that's that God's the God of many chances, but those chances run out. The second thing is this, and the idea of being practical, I want to take some time right now, and let's be quiet for a second, and let's just ask the Lord where we're really at. Let's just ask for humble eyes, and just have him show us, do we have some weeds growing? Do we got some root rot? We got a little couple of rotten fruit laying around us? What's going on with our garden? Let's just ask, because I know if I let you out of here before asking, you ain't going to do it, right? So let's just do it right now. So let's bow our heads for a second. I'm going to pray, dear Lord, you got our attention. We're here right now. And Lord, we got a bunch of distractions outside this place, but each and every one of us has some soil, and we want to take some responsibility for our soil, Lord. But first, before we know if we need your help, we need to know what our status really is, Lord. So I'd ask that you just open our eyes and open our hearts, and if there's anything in each and every, in any one of our lives, or is there something that needs to be in one of our lives, I'd ask that you just make it clear, make it obvious, and just tell us right now. Dear Lord Jesus, just thank you. And Lord, I hope you reveal to each and every one of us something. Just show us a picture of a true glimpse of where we're at. And Lord, I'd also ask, though, that you do it with hope. And you show us that, you know, that all we have to do is ask. And you'll come and you'll tend to that soil. And you'll get us trimmed back. And you'll make us the bountiful, fruitful plants you want us to be. Lord, I'd also ask that you bless each and every one of the people listening. And just be with us today. And just you know, just if Maywood's where we're supposed to be at, Lord, I'd ask that you just make it clear, make it obvious. And if it's not, just make that obvious so. But just give us some comfort, you know, and some peace in where we're at and the decisions we've made. And Lord, I know that football's not that important, but Lord, if the Chiefs could win the Super Bowl, amen.